I pray your blessing on that word, that we don't just let it go over our heads, but that we meditate on it. What has God asked you to do? You may feel out of your depth. You may think, doesn't apply to me. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, it does apply to you. And God wants to use you in his way. Lord, I pray your blessing on that word. And I pray that you would give us that incentive to go further with you, that step in faith. Amen. Folks, it's great to see so many here today. And it's a great day. We are celebrating. We are celebrating through baptism, a step of obedience. We are celebrating because we're all together in harmony, knowing the love of Jesus. I'm going to speak about baptism briefly, I hope, and then we go up to the Gellar Bridge. You need to pray for those that they don't get some sort of shock as they go into the water. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus, the command of God was for those who suffered from skin disease to bathe, to immerse themselves, to prepare for sacrifice, that they be healed. And we read, of course, in Matthew chapter 3 of John the Baptist. He was also doing a baptism. It wasn't the one directly from Jesus. It was one for the repentance of sin. And he was saying, some would come after me. He was preaching from the book of Isaiah. He says, some will come after me. His name is Jesus. And he will baptize you with fire. Indeed, I baptize you with water to repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean his floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then Jesus himself sets the example. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John prohibited him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. But Jesus answered, let it be so now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he permitted him. And when Jesus was baptized, he came up immediately out of the water, and suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus set the example of baptism by immersion. It is a step of obedience. As somebody said to me, I want to take the next step. I've affirmed my faith in Jesus Christ. I've accepted him. I've accepted forgiveness for sin. But I want to go that step on, and that step is obedience in following Christ's example. It marks an individual publicly as a follower of Jesus. Some of us have been baptized perhaps as babies or christened as babies or maybe dedicated as babies. But New Testament baptism is very clear. It follows belief. It is not something out of non-belief, but it follows people who have believed on Jesus' saving grace, have been forgiven for sin, and who walk with him. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were in prison when the earthquake shook the place. The doors were opened and the prisoners could have escaped. And the jailer was going to fall on his sword because in those times he was responsible, his death, for their escape. And Paul says, don't, it's all right, we are all here. And the jailer brings forth the lights and washes their wounds and says, what can I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The jailer washed their wounds, and that night he was baptized after belief. In Mark 16 and 33, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation, and whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And there are fairly clear instructions that baptism is a step of obedience, and it comes after belief in the forgiveness and accepts forgiveness in Jesus and new life as we get baptized. Why total immersion? In Acts 8 and 27, Philip was on the road to Jerusalem to Gaza, and he met the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading Isaiah. And he said, is this about Jesus? Who's this about? And Philip explains the good news of Jesus, and the eunuch accepts this revelation. And when they came to water, he said, can I be baptized? Again, belief followed by baptism. One of my favorite preachers is David Pawson's. And David Pawson explains clearly that the word baptizo in Greek means to plunge. It's like a piece of cloth dyed, dipped into the dye, totally immersed. Baptism means total immersion. It also stands for burial. A burial to the old life and a resurrection to the new. In Romans 6 and 4, Paul says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried with him through baptism in order that Jesus, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may be lived into a new life, live a new life. Baptism, also a symbol of burial. Burial to the old self, resurrection to the new. Oh, does that make us perfect? Does it make us perfect? No. We are told we can still sin. You can be baptized. You can affirm your love for Jesus. You can go through the waters of baptism by total immersion. It doesn't make us perfect. We have to trust in the allegiance to Christ and to know his strength and forgiveness in times to come. It's not a magic formula. The water isn't holy. It is simply an immersion to the old self, a rising to the new, and a recognition that, yes, as flawed individuals, we can be forgiven and know his strength as we walk his way. It's also a token of our humility. Story in 2 Kings. The young lass, the prisoner of war, looks at the master of the house, who's perhaps putting on his tunic, and she sees the patch of leprosy. And she says to her mistress, if my master went to Elisha the prophet, he could be healed. And the word spreads, and eventually Naaman, who was the commander of the king's army of Aram, a valiant soldier, I'll go and see this man, Elisha.
That's all right.
He travels with his escort. The Bible says soldiers, horses and chariots. He's got an armed escort. And he travels to Elisha's house. And when he gets to the door, the servant opens the door and says, just a minute. And he comes back from Elisha. He says, the prophet says, just go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. This was the commander of the king of Aram. He had a huge ego. He had an escort with guys. He thought, I am worth, does he not know who I am? He's treating me like nothing. And he leaves in a rage. And the Bible says as he goes back to his own land, he says, the rivers in my land are much better than that muddy ditch called the Jordan. I'm not going to go there. But one of his aides says, listen, if you were going to do something wonderful and strong and courageous, you would have done it, wouldn't you? Yeah. What's preventing you doing something humble and dipping in the River Jordan? Oh, aye, well, And he wheels round his horses and chariots, and he says, come on, lads, we're back to the Jordan. And here he is, this man with a big ego, getting off his chariot, getting onto the grass, taking off his helmet, taking off his tunic, standing in his underpants, walking down the slippery, muddy slope into the Jordan. The escort all watching him. Some of the older guys, more experienced, might say, goodness me, look, it's spread right down his back. He's really got bad leprosy. Some of the younger ones saying, ha, ha, it's a sight for sore eyes. I've never seen the boss like that walking down with his Y fronts. And there would be that sense of ridicule. And here he goes into the Jordan. He says, I'm making a right fool of myself. This is crazy. What am I doing this for? Does that guy know what he's speaking about? This guy, he didn't even have the sense, the decency, the good manners to see me at the door. And he dips. And after three or four, he says, it's not working. It's not what, this is a scam. I've been conned. But when he goes down for the seventh time, God intervenes and he comes up with his flesh like a newborn baby. And he goes back to give thanks to Elisha. And you probably know the story as well as I do. You see, belief, yes. Obedience to what God has said and to the example of Jesus. It's a public declaration. People are aware as you dip into the water and come up again. It's a public spectacle. It's indicative of a new life in Jesus. And it is submitted in humility. Philippians 2 speaks about Jesus himself as the great man, the great Messiah he is. And he says, who being in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the form of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. You see, we can't carry our ego. Jesus wants us to stand before him as people who have been forgiven, ransomed, healed, and restored, and to say, Lord, without your help, I am nothing. I need you to come in and make a difference in my life. I want to walk in a step of obedience with you. I want to immerse myself in the water to come up as if it were a burial to a new life, a declaration of a new start for you. And I want to know that as I humble myself before you, your word says you will lift me up. I just pray a blessing on each Maisie, Mike, Edward, Tristan. Lord, I pray a blessing on each of these guys, each of these people, that you bless them and guard them and keep them, that you be with them and help them to know that this step is not a non-event. It is a celebration. It is a step of obedience. And I ask you to bless them, give them a day of blessing, give them a future life of great blessing, that they will not forget the step they've taken. Amen.
Can we have the band out, please? If anybody needs a lift, you're intending to go there, but you don't have a car, then find somebody who's got a spare seat. I've got a spare seat. Gail probably does too. Just ask around. John? Three. Right. We've probably got about 30 spare seats, so no excuse for not going up. Okay.
I'm just going to sing one song.